Good morning. It's good to see you all. We're going to do something slightly different this morning. We have John himself coming to preach to us. John, one of the first apostles, one of Jesus' closest friends, the one whom Jesus loved. I'm going to read the whole of 1 John, which is a letter that he wrote to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So if that's you this morning, then he wrote this for you. But he did write it 2,000 years ago in a different language, in a different part of the world. And so as we go, I'll commentate slightly to help join the dots of some of what he's saying and to help us to apply it into our lives here today. I hope you're up for that. Please do turn with me if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, try and find one if you can. Please do turn to 1 John. It's right near the end of the Bible. If you get to Jude or Revelation, you've gone too far. It's after Peter. If you have one of these blue church Bibles, then it is page 1225. 1225. We'll start at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Now, John writes as an eyewitness to Jesus' life. He saw, he touched. There were not many who could make this claim, but John could. And so what he says is trustworthy. He got his message from Jesus himself. We continue in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Here's the first part of his message, and he'll go on to expand this out more. God is light. God is light. Now, light makes something that was hidden visible, but also it brings life. What were the very first words that God spoke in Genesis? Let there be light. Let there be light. You see, without light, life could not follow. Light allows and sustains life. And this is a massive theme for John. It is all the way through his gospel, the Gospel of John, and also through this letter. Light signifies life, and we'll see that become clearer as we go on. Verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, when John says that God is light, by that he means that God is right. God is light means that he is righteous and has no sin. And it's this that brings life. He does no wrong. He can't do wrong because he is light. He is the standard of morality. He defines what is right and what is wrong. And life comes by living in that way. And so John says that if we claim that what God calls sin isn't sin, then we're deceiving ourselves, we're lying to ourselves. Because only God can define what is and isn't sin. And if we do that, then we're cut off from God, we're cut off from life, and we're cut off from all that is good. So John says, face up to your sin, admit that you have sinned, and then he goes on to give us some hope. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, John is under no illusions. He knows we all sin. He said so in verse 8. We're in 1 John, page 1225. He said so back in verse 8 that we all sin. But see his encouragement here. He says, oh, I would love it if we didn't sin. But don't worry, when you do, God's got it covered. He's sorted it. He has made the necessary sacrifice to make it right, to make it like you never sinned. You see, Jesus was righteous. He was the righteous one. And so through him, you too can be righteous. We'll go on with verse 3 in chapter 2. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Jesus showed us what it means to live in God's light. He didn't sin, and so in him we have the perfect example to follow. Verse 7. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. What is one key sign that we are living in God's light? That you love one another. John will circle back to this a few more times and expand out what that means. But first, having just told us that we all sin, and saying if you don't love others, then you're in the darkness, he wants to encourage you. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. John is not writing to make us feel bad. He says, I write to you because you know this and you do it. You have been forgiven. You know God. You have overcome the evil one. You are strong and God lives in you. So keep going. Be encouraged, Christian. John wants to say that you are doing well. Verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. There it is. Living in God's light, by his standard of morality, brings life. Light brings life. Verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And here we get to why John is writing. People have, it seems, have gone out from the church that he's writing to and are trying to lead them astray. They've changed the message. And John is saying, stick with what you know is true. Don't follow them. Verse 20. We're in 1 John. Currently in chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Remain in him, continue in him. Don't let anyone lead you astray, and you will receive eternal life. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. It's like we're put in the same boat as Jesus here, the only truly righteous one. The one who fully lived out God's standard of morality, God's one and only Son, as we can be called his children too. If you are a Christian here today, then you are God's child. And if you are God's child, then you will become more like him because you have been born of him and you are in his light. You won't always notice it. But it will happen. Carrying on in verse 1 of chapter 3, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. If you are in Christ, then God does not see you as a sinner. Yes, you are a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Hallelujah. We must remember that. But God sees you like he sees his Son. He looks at you and sees Jesus' righteousness. He sees a sinless child. He's under no illusions. He knows you get it wrong. But you're trusting Jesus to cover that. And he will. He has. Verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. When we live by God's standard of morality, the world won't like it, just like Cain didn't back in Genesis. Verse 13, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Want to know what love looks like? Well, look to Jesus, and you'll see him giving up his life to save others. Now that is love, John says. It is living in a way that responds to the needs of others. It is other person-centered, not self-centered. The world often says that love is about how you feel. I love someone who makes me feel happy. But that is not other person-centered. God didn't love us because of how we made him feel. He didn't get anything from us. Love is about how we treat others, regardless of how we feel, how they feel, or what we get in return. Verse 19, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. That's all he asks of us. Believe in Jesus, trusting that he can take away our sins, and then seek to love others, knowing that he first loved us. And we will do that if we are in him, because he has given us his Spirit. Chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. John does not say God loves or God is loving. There is not this thing called love, and God is just really good at it. John means that this thing called love, well, that is God. When the band Darkness sang "I Believe in a Thing Called Love," what they didn't realize they were saying was, "I believe in God." John says God is love. And so what this means is that God has a monopoly on love. He defines it. The world cannot say this is what love is. Somebody cannot say that God is not loving, because God is love. He can't not love. So if your definition of love doesn't match up with God, then you've got love wrong. You see, people read verses like this and they say, aha, love. You see, it's all about love. And then they try to define what love is. They say, therefore, you should accept everyone for who they are. It's all about love, therefore you should never disagree with someone and tell them that they're wrong. It's all about love, therefore if they say they love each other, well, who are we to disagree? But you see, John firmly anchors love in God's character. He says, do you want to know what love is? Well, look to God, for he is love. And then he shows us the greatest expression of love. This, verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify, John was there, remember? We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. We cannot love apart from God, because remember, God is light. And if you separate yourself from the source of light, then you cannot know what love is. So it should not surprise us when the world gets it wrong. Someone separated from God cannot define right and wrong. The only reason that we can love is because he loved us and shone his light on us. Verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And here we get to the crux of it. What does it mean to love God? Well, it means obeying him. Loving God means living how he tells us to live. So when the world tells you that God's command isn't very loving, then you know that they just don't understand what love really is. John goes on. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you believe in Jesus this morning, believe that his blood was shed to save you, then you have eternal life. It's yours. His light has brought you life. And it is out of this faith that your love can flow. So take heart if that's you. John says to you that you have eternal life. Verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Jesus is God. He is light and he is love. And it is by being in him that you can have eternal life. So don't go after any other idols. They're worthless. Keep away from them. Instead, chase after Jesus. And that life is yours in him. And that's the end of John's letter for us this morning. God sets the standard of morality. He defines sin, and he defines sin's opposite, love. So express your love for him by obeying him, and know that you have eternal life. Now, you might have listened this morning and realized that John's descriptions don't fit you, that his letter hasn't been written to you. Well, it's not too late. You can come to Jesus now and accept the love that he has shown for you. The love that he showed when he died on the cross. And then you can know that his death will make you righteous and will give you eternal life. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you are light and that you are love. And we thank you so much that you showed your love for us. Even when we did nothing to deserve it, when you didn't get anything from us, you loved us by meeting our greatest need in sending your son Jesus to die for us and to save us and to bring us into eternal life. Help us to love him, help us to love you, and help us to love each other. And help us to know and remember that we will get to spend an eternity with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we're going to